Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. You can learn more about us at michaelneal.org. Today is part four of a conversation that I had with Mara Gleason, author of the book One Thought Changes Everything. And she is the co-founder of One Solution, an international nonprofit dedicated to solving large-scale global issues by illuminating a new understanding of the mind. And you can learn more about them at onesolutionglobal.org. One of the chapters in the book that I really enjoyed, I think you called The Iceman. And it was describing your work was he a vet from Kuwait or?
No, he was a senior ranking Marine who had done tours all over the place, Iraq, Afghanistan. They even made an HBO documentary about one of the particular missions that he was a part of leading, because I don't want to give too much away.
Order the books, kids. But
no, not the book. I mean, his
yeah, no, I understand. I understand. But I guess the thing about the chapter that really impacted me was I identified, without obviously having anything like the same backstory, with having created a world that worked without feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then opening up to feeling, but instead of falling apart and basically having a nervous breakdown, which is the fear if you've built all these lovely defense mechanisms up, was actually the exact opposite. That when he woke up to his ability to feel, to the innate feeling, mm-hmm. it changed everything for the better. And I see that probably more in me than any other impact of this work. Is, you know, like my wife's big fear was when I got into this, oh God, now you've got another set of justifications to not feel anything. Great. You know, whereas actually it's been the exact opposite, that actually I'm not as afraid of feeling, because all the feelings I used to have were terrible. Mm. Right. I wasn't suicidal because I felt great. Right. So I just love the hopefulness of that. And I wondered if you could speak to what is that, I guess, why is it that when we wake back up to that deeper feeling part of ourselves, it makes such a difference in how we live our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the short answer, I think, is because we're born that way. You know, we're born with a natural aliveness, a feelingful being in life. You know, we are meant to be, and I love looking at little kids because they're such a demonstration of this, but we're meant to be the full range of humanity, everything from delighted and like I look at my new niece who just came into our lives a few weeks ago, and
yeah.
Oh my gosh, the richness of feeling on her face, both when she's happy and when she's upset about something. It's like,
yeah.
It's so, oh my God, you could stare at it all day long, and people talk about that. It's like, you know, there's this creepy but common phrase of like, oh, I just want to eat you. Like, there's
yeah.
Something so delicious about the richness of human experience going on the face of a new baby. And I think, you know, before we train ourselves, or I don't even want to say, I don't want to put blame on it, but before we innocently start to develop what kind of thinking we want to have, don't want to have, what's okay, what's not okay, you know, and you just pick these things up. Like, I realized I picked up so many different random things that I started trying to kind of mold myself into having these kinds of feelings, but not those kinds of feelings, and be this kind of person, but not that kind of person. You know, like, babies aren't doing that.
Well, we need to teach them now.
Right, exactly. Like, it was 4th of July yesterday, and I love that. I'm sure you've seen it before on memes and whatnot, how drunk adults are just like babies. And we were watching on the beach in Chicago. We were down at Lake Michigan to watch the fireworks, and we're watching this group of drunk adults acting just like babies. And yet, you know, they were being absolutely adorable, actually. They were kind of dancing like nobody was watching, as they say. And I think at our core, at our essence, at our most fundamental, before we start getting attached to certain thoughts that form us, they literally turn us into a specific kind of form. Before that, we're just very fluid and we're very in life. And that's why people seek out feeling full experiences like being around small children or throwing themselves out of a plane. It's like, you know, I've met those people that become sort of adventure addicts or junkies, whatever you say, that because they're looking for raw experience and feeling. And what was really cool about working with that Marine is that he had an unbelievable capacity to control his mind. Mm. And that had served him very well in the military. But as a human with a capital H, there was not much feeling. And what was really cool about working with him, and it shocked me, is after a few days and him kind of politely saying, yes, I can see what you're saying. Oh, it all makes sense. Yep, it all comes from the mind. Great, got it. As a Marine, I already knew that. It's like, okay, well. And again, I can't explain this. I try to describe it in the book as it's kind of like the black box on a plane when a plane crashes, that they immediately look for the black box so they can explain why a plane went down. I kind of feel like there's a black box to why people have shifts in consciousness, or a less, you know, fluffy new agey way of saying that. It's kind of just realizations. Why do people have aha moments when they have? Yeah. I don't know. But I know that there's a kind of perfect storm of direction you can point a person in that leads to the increased likelihood of that. And we just stuck with it with him, and we just kept pointing to, there's more than what you've created in your own mind. There's more than just your own thinking. And the more we pointed in that direction, then lo and behold, somewhere on day 3 of our program, he went out onto the streets of New York, walked into Times Square in particular, and just fell out of that yip yapper we were talking about earlier, yeah. All of the buildup of personal thinking. And when he fell out of that, he got so touched by humanity and what human beings looked like. It's like you talked about earlier, Michael, like colors get brighter. Mm-hmm. It's like humanity floods you when you don't have your thinking separating you from all of it. And he got flooded and he got touched, and he'd never had that experience, at least in his adult memory, of feeling that connected to and loving toward humanity. And what was so fascinating about it, and this is what I think is so cool, it speaks to what we talked about earlier, that when your mind gets spacious, you don't become some blob on the couch. Actually, and this is what happened with him, he was immediately filled with inspiration and ideas for how this understanding could transform military training and how it would help soldiers learn pre-deployment about their mind in a way that would save them from themselves creating problems later when they were, you know, deployed for months or years.
Well, it's almost paradoxical, because we come to something like the principles that you and I share often because we want to feel better. We want to feel different. And yet where we actually get to is a place where we don't actually want or need to control the way we feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where I think this is revolutionary, because it's understanding the human experience gives you freedom to experience it all, versus looking to learn tools and techniques to only feel certain ways. It's a much richer version of the human experience. in my opinion.
I just want to do a quick plug for the book, One Thought Changes Everything. Hopefully you've gotten a sense listening to these podcasts at just the ease with which Mara speaks about these principles and this idea. And in the book, she does such a beautiful job of sharing not only the meat of the principles, but just stories that do such a great job of illustrating how this impacts very real people in very real ways. And you can pick it up online at any of the Amazons, and hopefully soon in a bookshop near you. In our final episode, we're going to be talking about One Solution, what it is, and what's the role that you can play in it. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and we'll talk to you soon.